It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not bad, thank you.
It's good to speak to you. We've got big things happening across the country this morning. Let's start with talking about the nurses' strike that will be kicking off, I think, from about 11 a.m. today. Projection of thousands of people who will be, striking today for better pay and conditions. What's the government's position on this?
Well, we're obviously in a negotiation, and an offer's been put. The nurses have rejected that offer, and obviously they're perfectly entitled to strike as a part of the negotiation process. We've said from the outset, these are difficult times for us in COVID. That hasn't stopped us putting an offer where we are still trying to focus on lifting the wages of those who are the lowest paid amongst our health workforce. So the offer we've put represents for healthcare assistance, it's a 12% increase for some. Enrolled nurses are 11% on those lower bands. But as you move through, it's more modest, the increases you see as you move through the salary bands. We've also put on the table a form of down payment on the pay equity settlement that we need to work our way through. But again, that offer's been rejected. We're keen to get back to the negotiating table.
Well, we will probably come back to this after, the strike has happened today and see what's happening. But let's talk a little bit about the Canterbury flooding, because that's been a huge, huge situation. And it's going to be big bills for infrastructure recovery and farming recovery. When is the government going to be able to confirm the level of investment it can make into these communities as they're recovering?
Yeah, so at the moment, it's been really response funding. So in any emergency situation, what we try and do is put money straight on the table for just those immediate recovery needs. We can do that through Rural Support Trust, and we do it through Work and Income, and we do it through the mayors. So trying to just get it really localised really quickly. After that, we then go in and just do an assessment of the longer-term needs. I'm hoping to get back down to be able to take another look. I was there really, and they were in the immediate aftermath of the crisis. But NZTA at the moment doing work, particularly on that bridge just south of Ashburton, where we're still really restricting ourselves to light traffic in evening hours, and so detours for heavy vehicles at certain times of day. Hopefully we'll get an assessment completed on that soon and just know what work needs to be done.
Looking into the future, besides these big infrastructure costs and as you were saying, immediate situations with, traffic movement and people's houses and farmland that's been damaged, this is, a climate change issue, and we're seeing communities are going to have to adapt to ongoing situations like this. How is the government going to be supporting local government and local communities to deal with this adaption that's going to need to continue to happen to climate change issues?
You're 100% right. Our job is to, yes, work on adaptation, but also mitigation, and we need to do both. No country should say, look, it's a given that it's coming and we just need to prepare ourselves. We have to reduce our emissions profile, do our bit to try and reduce the impacts, whilst also preparing ourselves with adaptation measures as well. We've been, since we came into office, we've actually been talking with local government around how do we share the burden of that. So some of it will be what we do around planning, identifying at-risk areas, where they may be low-lying or coastal erosion, and just making sure that we're not putting people in a position where businesses or infrastructure or housing has been built in areas that we know to be at risk. But then we need to move through those questions around who does pick up the liability for areas where they are already developed but we have concerns. Now, there's a number of things we can do in between. Part of our COVID recovery and response plan was actually trying to create jobs in local areas, and some of that was around flood protection and climate mitigation work. So we've already been undertaking that, and that's really proving its worth in recent times. But there's a lot more that we need to go through, but we are actually working quite closely on local government on that.
Well, one of the other big things that's been happening is, of course, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison's visit to Aotearoa. Now, there were some big conversations, that were in the media about relationships towards China and also around the refugee situation. I'm interested, were you able to make any headway on the discussion around 501s and Australia exporting those with formal convictions born in New Zealand back to New Zealand? Was that something that you feel like you were able to make some movement with?
No, speaking frankly, it was not. And no, you know, no Prime Minister for some time has made progress on that, but it doesn't stop all of us from raising it, because, you know, I think it's our job when you have a really close relationship, you know, a relationship that is, you know, almost like a family relationship, you know, you have to be able to speak frankly on these matters, and we do. So there is no question that my counterpart in Australia knows how we feel, not about all cases, because some it's legitimate. You know, someone who moved from New Zealand, you know, a year or two ago and goes over there and starts committing crime, that is absolutely fair that they then be deported back to New Zealand. And we do the same. But we draw a line around the 10-year mark where we say, actually, from that point, we need to own you. You've been here a long time. You've integrated. It's our job now to take responsibility for what's happening here. We only ask that Australia do the same.
Does it frustrate you that this is a conversation that, I guess, keeps coming up and oh, there is no movement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Because, look, we accept that there's a legal basis for Australia to do what they're doing. We argue that there is an immoral basis, and that it's only the most really, the cases like someone who's lived in Australia since they were 18 months old, has no family connection, in some cases just can't even remember stepping foot here. I've met individuals who, who have all of their family, their children, back in Australia, and here we are, having to try and wrap around support and social services because otherwise they would be homeless. So none of that is a good situation, and so yes, it does frustrate me.
So there have been some media reports that Australia has indicated that where there might be some movement is perhaps in taking up the offer that has been made by successive New Zealand governments to take 150 refugees currently in offshore detention centres. Is this the impression that you have of this current situation?
So our officials have, you know, all the way through the offer has been made, our officials have all the way through maintained contact with our Australian counterparts and work with them on what implementation of that offer could look like. So that's been a consistent presence and a consistent talking point for our people on both sides. You'll know one of the things the Australians wanted to do was continue to take up the offer from the United States on resettlement, and they've been working their way through that. So that's been one of the things that really they've prioritised in the process.
Speaking of the refugee situation, New Zealand has been very critical of Australia's use of offshore detention centres, but in this last week we've seen Amnesty International, they've just released a large report into New Zealand's own treatment of refugee arrivals into this country, and their report is calling on the Minister of Immigration to end the use of criminal justice facilities to detain people seeking asylum. When is the New Zealand government going to tackle this aspect of our legislation?
Yeah, so this was a report that we received not too long ago, and at the time we hadn't had a chance to go through it when it was made public and actually make a formal response. You know, we take very seriously our international obligations, our human rights obligations, and so I did want to take seriously what was being raised by Amnesty International. I think the only thing that I did point out at the time was just in terms of some of this, the numbers, and you'll forgive me, I'm going from my memory here. We have hundreds, I think it's in the order of 600 or so, cases that we'll be reviewing at any given time where people have made application for status equivalent to asylum seekers or refugees and so on. A very small proportion will be in our criminal justice system during that process. We've had, I recall, something like six where a handful, three or so, I believe, were detained. Others had conditions. And there'll be a range of reasons for that, often immigration-related. So it's a small number that nonetheless does not change the fact that we need to make sure that we're acting appropriately and upholding a high standard.
So is there an urgent timeline on addressing this from the government?
I would, at the time, you know, we actually thought Amnesty told us they were going to put out the report, and we actually asked whether or not we could see it so we could crack on with, you know, seeing what they were raising, getting a response to it. Unfortunately, we had to wait till it was out in the public domain in order to be able to see it in its entirety. But it would just be, I'd need to ask the minister how long he believes it will take before we can more formally respond to some of the issues that have been raised.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. It's great to have you on the show. And we'll talk to you again in a month. So thank you very much.
Ka kite.
Ka kite anō.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.